Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Well, it's another Tuesday live show on Monday. Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. We only have one question, but I have a number of things I want to talk about. I'm going to comment. Courtney's asking if Dougie Fresh is going to join today. It's not Doug E. Fresh. His middle name is not Edgar. It's Dougie, like D-O-U-G-I-E. I think. We'll have to ask Doug. I don't know if he's going to join. He's actually out there doing tests on PFDs. We have a big bucket. We're measuring how much buoyancy PFDs have, old ones, new ones, comparing them. His new nickname is Data Doug, basically, from his tests. But if Courtney, if you let Michael know, he can run out and maybe see if Dougie wants to join us. I didn't even think to ask him. That's super smart. Okay, well, let's get on with the show. We only have one question, so I have some things to talk about. And if you have questions, of those of you who are watching and listening, ask questions, throw them in the comments. I'll get to them. First of all, I want to talk about our sponsor, GoRafting.com. They do maps, river maps, and it's river season coming up here pretty soon. And they make maps for all the popular Western rivers that you might do as an overnight, where a map is really nice to have. And I'm going to put their website up here really quick. Let me do this. Let's share your screen. Here's the website. And they don't have the app. They're not the ones that make the app. It's a different company that makes it. They just make the maps for the application. And the application is called Far Out. You download that. It's really for hiking, but there's a bunch of river maps. And I highly recommend them. I know a lot of you are like, I don't like technology. I don't want to put my phone out in the woods. Cool. Don't. Use a paper map. Awesome. But there are some massive advantages to having your phone on a river trip. First of all, nowadays it's an emergency communication device. A lot of them have sat texting, so you can get something out. You get your photos with it. It's an alarm clock. A lot of other little things that like sound little star finders, so you can find constellations. But also you can put your river map there, and you can put way more information on a phone than you can in a book. And so a lot of these apps, when you get the map, it's an app and a map. So if I talk too fast, so things are confusing. If you download the map onto the app, you get photos of the camp. So you get photos of the rapids, you get detailed descriptions, almost more information than you even want. And it helps you make decisions about where to camp, that kind of thing. And it also knows your mileage. It knows where you're at and how far it is to the next feature. So when you're on a river map, you're sometimes like, are we here? Are we there? I don't know. I think we're here. On the map, it tells you where you are and it says 1 mile to Blossom Bar, half a mile to Blossom Bar, 100 feet to Blossom Bar. So you know when to pull over and scout. There's no question. Anyway, awesome maps, the Middle Fork, the Grand Canyon. The absolute steal here, and there's updates. They put out this blog post explaining what's going on with Middle Fork of the Salmon Camps, but they update the map. So when you buy a paper map, you can't change it. The Middle Fork of the Salmon, for example, has changes. They update their online maps and the ones in the application, the app, with updated photos, updated descriptions, so you know when changes happen. And there's the new Klamath River, all kinds of stuff. And they have this bundle. They still sell it because it is an absolute steal. Here we go. Save 83% with their classic whitewater bundle. Learn more. This is an absolute, I don't know, they're giving this away. $60 for basically all the maps. Anyway, all the good ones. It has the Middle Fork, the Road, the Green Canyon. A lot of advertising here, though. I don't know, a bunch of ones you probably would never use, but a lot of them that you might. So anyway, they sponsor the show. Thank you guys for sponsoring the show. Oh, here we go. I've dropped two phones in the river back to back. Oh, that hurts. Yeah, you got to be careful with the phone. When phones first, I used to bring my phone on the river a lot, and I'd put it in a waterproof case, like an OtterBox or a LifeProof case, and eventually the cases would let water in, and I've never dropped a phone in the river, but I've probably broken like six or seven phones because they've gotten wet from being in the cases. Now that they're waterproof-ish, I mean, I'm not guaranteeing they're waterproof. My iPhone goes in my PFD, no case, never had a problem. And I've swam with it. I don't think about it. But dropping it's a problem. I have friends who have little ropes that tie from their phone to the to their PFD, so they drop and it's still attached. That's probably a good thing to do. But I'm sorry to hear you have that problem dropping your phone in the river. But if you're careful or have a little like tether, like a leash for your phone, that's an idea. But that would be a bummer to lose your phone, especially if it's your only map. I don't think they have any rivers in the Northeast. The guys who did this, I mean, really the biggest advantage of this, I think, is overnight trips. I think day trips, this is like moderately interesting. And there's not a lot of overnight trips in the Northeast. The guys who did this, are, I mean, with the microphone, I'm probably quiet. The guys who made these apps, they're from the West. And so they haven't boated in the Northeast much. Now, maybe somebody will add rivers of the Northeast. But this, I wouldn't buy this for just for a day trip, honestly. I wouldn't, yeah, personally. But as an overnight option, it's super sweet. So that's that. And let's move on. I want to talk about the Upper Wind Whitewater Festival. Let's go back to here. We'll Google it. Upper Wind Whitewater Festival. It's coming up this weekend. It's Saturday. For those of you that don't know, the Upper Wind is a class 4+ river, sometimes even 5 when the water's high. And there's a good chance. How do I remove that? Add that. Okay, there we go. So it's class. It might rain a lot Thursday, Friday, which takes us from like the class 4+ category to like 5-ish at the, if it gets above 7 feet. And you the distinction between 4 and 5, I might call something 5, somebody else calls 4, and vice versa. So it's subtle, but high water is legit. I bet if it's like a good flow, like 5.5, 6 feet, there'll be 100+ people here. If it's 7 feet, 20. That's just my guess. It's just people get nervous of high water for good reason. There will be way fewer participants if the water's high. And I heard the cutoff 7.4 feet, which is a reasonable cutoff. But swim in high water would be pretty rough. Anyway, it's this weekend. I'm going. I'm pretty jazzed for it. The cataract race is what I'm going to enter. Last year, we had like 10 or 15 people in it. It's super fun. It's head-to-head capo racing. I mean, there's oars flying everywhere, boats everywhere. It's head-to-head. And Jesse from Class 5 River Gear Adventure, Class 5, he makes frames, Class 5 rafting frames. He's put up $250 for the winner of the capo race. I put up 100. So if you win the capo race, that's $350 to the winner. And so if you're a capoer and you think you have what it takes to win that race, please show up. The competition's great. And it's just a fun community event. This isn't like – this is a more of a community event than a massive festival. This isn't like Golly Fest or Feather Fest where it's just a massive party. Nobody camps all weekend and it's about the party. This is more about the community, the local community, and just – sharing this river that we love. It's a really fun event, one of my favorites of the year. There's a big after party at Backwoods Brewing. It supports the local community, the Carson, Washington, you know, brings people there. It's just a great event. And so I'm looking forward to it on Saturday. If I figure out how to do my GoPro, I'll get GoPro on my race. I'm going to race. I'm pretty jazzed about it. So I'll try to remember my GoPro. I forgot my GoPro last year. So that's that. And let's go on to our one question now. And if you have questions, throw them in the comments. I'll get the questions. Otherwise, we'll be done here pretty quick. Somebody found us the web search that led to an article about a John Day trip. So I want to see if you do any SUP trips on the John Day or other rivers in the Pacific Northwest. We do not. We do not do SUP trips, and we do not do the John Day. Also, do you do any private or group whitewater SUP training? We do not do private SUP training or group whitewater SUP training. We only, just for everybody that's interested, we have blog posts about cool trips, like the John Day. We have blog posts about it, but the only trips we offer are the ones on our website. We don't have anything that's not on our website. So there's no SUP trips. If you look at our website, there's fun articles about it, but if you look at our navigation, we only have those trips. I'm a novice at it, but was once a rep guy. I currently do a lot of flat water stuff. Sweet. So whitewater stuff is super fun. Please let me know if Please let me know. And if not, any referral to someone who does would be appreciated. I don't think anybody does whitewater sup trips on the John Day. And like, I don't know, 8 or 10 years ago when I was really into sup, there was a lot of enthusiasm. People were going to do sup trips on the John Day. We tried doing sup trips on the Rogue. We tried doing sup trips. There just aren't enough people that want to do it. And so I feel like whitewater supping is kind of in a lull right now, where there were people trying to offer these kind of trips like 8 or 10 years ago, which just never really, there wasn't enough interest to pull it off. So I think your best bet is to use Google here. Let's try this. Sup, let's see, whitewater sup trips. Let's put that in and see what we get. So here we go. River Drifters offers multi-day sup trips. Boom. There you go. I know the owner of this company. I didn't even know they were doing this. And I used to go supping with the owner of this company a lot. We were really into it together. So there you go. Boom. There is a place. Let's see what number two is. Intro to Whitewater Sup Weekend. This is in Bend. Boom. There you go. Let's see. Whitewater Supping in Lachute. This is probably about River Drifters. Yep. So let's see. The River Sup Guy. I've heard of the River Sup Guy. Oh, he doesn't support a secure connection. I'm not going to go there. But I've heard of the River Sup Guy. He does a bunch of trips. Here we go. Whitewater Sup Trips Spur Experiences. There you go. North Moab, Utah. So I would suggest let me go back to here, that I don't know off the top of my head who does things, but Google has a bunch of great suggestions there. Okay, so that's our only question of the day. Oh, here we go. We got a comment. Marty and Mia Shepherd, Little Creek Outfitters, run sups for the Clarinaux Cotton. There you go. There you go. Little Creek Outfitters. And the Clarinaux Cottonwoods on the John Day. So, man, that's the beauty of the show. Like, I don't have the answers to questions, but Mike, you do. Thank you for coming in to be a hero. Gone Long, can you talk about the Crooked River? Put in, take out the run. Thanks. Yeah, I'd be happy to. Let's go back to here and let's go to YouTube. That'll help. I think I have a video about it. And so I'm going to search Crooked River. I bet my video comes up. I actually have a couple of videos from doing the Crooked at different times. I have a whole, somewhere I have a trip report. Add a VTR beginning. See, I thought I had a whole trip report on the Crooked. Here we go, number five. So, commercials.
And Doug.
You'll be back. Emus can't help people customizing.
All right, here we go. This is the Crooked. So the put-in, I'm going to just use this video to quickly describe it. The Crooked's an amazing trip that goes, it's in Central Oregon. If it had reliable flows and good access, it would be the most popular rafting trip maybe of all time. Like if it was something that you could do as a day trip, it would blow people's minds. Awesome whitewater, spectacular scenery, close to Bend. It is a very, very cool trip. The problem with the Crooked is it only flows like 2, 3, 4, or 5 days a year. Some dam has to spill. I don't know. People know how this works. Some dam has to spill, and then there's water. The put-in isn't too hard. It's upstream of here. Right here, this where I'm showing you now, this is in Smith Rock State Park near Bend, near – what's that town right there? There's a little town. I forget what it's called. Terrebonne. So you put in like 2 miles or so upstream, and the put-in is not too bad. It's by a bridge. It's a little annoying. It's not that big of a deal. And you run pretty continuous whitewater right off the bat for like, I don't know, like a mile or two. It's like, whoa, this is legit whitewater. And I don't have video of that here. And then you get in, you go through Smith Rock State Park. As you can see, it was stunning. And then there's, I think the rapids are named number 1, 2, and 3. They're pretty straightforward, class 4, until they're not. Oh, there we have a swimmer. So they're not bad, but they take a minimum skill level. Oh, another swimmer. So they're class 4, but you can see they're maybe class 4+. because these cap orders usually pretty forgiving. I guess if they had had pins and clips and held onto the oars, they might have stayed in their boats. But I don't know. That's why I run pins and clips in class four. But, you know, who knows? It would be hilarious if that third boat did have pins and clips. Anyway, this number two, they all did really well. Fun rapid, not a big deal. You can see the scenery is amazing. Cool white water. I don't think we had swimmers here. And just this is some of the classic scenery. Once you get past, you know, the park, the biggest rapid here is right here, No Name. That's the name of the rapid, is No Name. And there's a nice, we took this nice conservative right side sneak. But there's a pretty juicy down the middle line, right? You can see that middle is nasty, but if you stay right, it's pretty chill. Just taking that right side sneak. You can get all the way left too, but if you go in that center hole, you're sort of asking for trouble. Looks like this boat didn't make the sneak and it's heading into the hole. They probably made it because some people, ooh, just right of it. Nice. Yeah, this is a killer rapid. I remember somebody on this trip went right dead into the hole. They didn't scout because they had to walk and they didn't like walking. So they just bombed into the hole and didn't flip. So it's pretty forgiving. This is the drone footage. And again, this is the hardest rapid. So if this looks tolerable to you, then the rest of the whitewater is not bad. Oh, I forgot how cool this rapid is and how cool this footage was. This is that like, almost like just pulling to the left, nice downstream ferry, 90-degree pull. That's how it's done. Just missing that nasty lateral that just sucks you into the hole. This is us. I had a raft this day. Then I had all this footage. That was that sneak line on the right. Yeah, I thought I had video of the person went right to the middle, but maybe not. Anyway, here's more good footage. This is my friends R2-ing it. It's a great R2 run, too. It'd be really fun on R2. And they're driving hard left to miss that whole rate line. Anyway, once you get past here, there's another rapid, I think it's called China Dam. And at China Dam, you can hike out. It's like a mile uphill. Maybe it's not a mile, but it feels like a mile. It's an epic uphill takeout. It's legit hard. You wouldn't want to hike. I've hiked cataracts out there. You wouldn't want to do that. It's a special level of pain to hike rafts and cataracts at China Dam River Life. And China Dam is kind of a nasty rapid. I don't think I get footage of it this day. If I remember right, they just footage of China Dam. I think this is all the footage I have. But it's kind of a nasty rapid. So if you don't take out there, you have to run that. And then you have to go down farther, and there's a dam. You either have to run it or portage it, kind of nasty portage. And then below there, you get to Lake Billy Chinook, and I think it's like a lot of miles to the takeout. You have to schedule a tow to tow you across the river. So you either have – the question you're asked about, you talk about the Crooked River. Awesome, cool rapids, killer scenery, great trip. Put it not too bad. Takeout heinous. Either this like mile-long epic uphill or go farther, run a nasty rapid, maybe run a dam or portage it, and then do a tow. It's a huge day. It's 20-some miles, something like that. And I think I even have a description. If you Google it, Crooked River Rafting, a whitewater guidebook, here we go. Boom. You Google Crooked River Rafting, my description's here. It talks about – this is – the actual information, the stuff I just told you, was like, I don't know, I came up with off the top of my head. This actually talks about different distances, some of the rapids. Here's some photos. There's more marketing. And do I have a picture of the dam? No Name. This photo right here is above that nasty China Dam thing. That it goes, but it's kind of nasty. Here's the dam when we ran it last. I think all of this stuff is gone, and I think it's more runnable now. I saw a bunch of photos of videos of people running it last week. And, yeah. So you can take out a Hollywood Road at mile 17 or go all the way to 23 and then get the tow. It looks like the tow is like 5-ish miles. So, Can't feel that helps. Awesome run, worth doing, but it takes a level of physical fitness to pull it off. Okay, the last thing I want to do today is talk about leaving Eddies as a group. We're in class four rowing school season. We do these classes, and a big thing we do is practice leaving Eddies as a team. And so this is one of our classes last week, and this, if you are in class two and three Whitewater, if you're just like, I love the Rogue, I love, I don't know, class two and three, you don't really, what I'm about to say doesn't matter that much. If you're running more difficult Whitewater, like class four-ish, easy class five, leaving Eddies as a group is a really important thing. And one of the most important things we cover in our class four schools. It seems super obvious. Like, you just do it. You just leave Eddies as a group. But it takes a lot of practice, and it's something that is not as easy as it sounds. And you can see here, the top boat, somebody's holding that top boat to help that person get going. But to leave Eddies as a team well, people kind of need to be on the shore. You can see the orange boat. There's a guy on shore who's about to jump in when it's time to go. You kind of need to be like ready to immediately go, not like kind of stuck on a rock, not tied to a tree. Once the first boat goes, and I don't remember the order here, but I think the blue boat was first in the order. Second boat goes, third boat goes. This is what it looks like, except for fourth boat, who had to hold on to another boat, is now walking down to let their boat go. So those first three boats, that's a great example of leaving Eddies as a group. You can see they're decent space. They're spaced pretty well. But boat four is on their own mission. I'm sharing this piece of video because as we go in here, boat four is untying their boat. They're getting ready to go. They're being left behind. And now that orange boat got stuck. An important thing here is boats one and two are providing good safety for each other. And this is super important. If the first person falls out of the boat, boat two is going to rescue them. If the first person falls out, they're super exposed. This is a bad place to be. So you want boat two on their tail just like this. A lot of you probably think this is too close for boat spacing. They're bump into each other. Cool. We can have that conversation another time. You want to be tighter than everybody normally runs, especially one and two. One and two have to be really good boaters so they can run this tight so that boat two can provide safety for boat one. If boat three falls out right now because they got stuck, it's going to be a long swim. Right? Like boat three is probably focused on boat one right now. If boat one falls out, they're kind of going to go for a long swim. But luckily, boat one and two are downstream. And so eventually you'll swim to them, right? Hopefully, unless you get stuck on a rock or something. Boat four has no safety. If boat four swims right now in this rapid, there's just no safety. So I'm going to say, in class four and class five Whitewater, this kind of boat spacing is unacceptable. Like, just not acceptable at all. This shouldn't happen. You need to be tighter. But one and two are doing a pretty good job, but which is important. But boats three and four are too far away. Those things cannot be allowed to happen. All right, and this is the end of the rapid right here. Ideally, boat one and two would have noticed that three and four aren't coming and maybe eddied out and waited for them. All right, here's another situation, similar eddy on river left, and we're going to watch a group leave the eddy. There's eight boats, and eight boats is, I think, too many to just run on one big group. So we're broken up into two pods of four, and you're going to see these boats come together. The four boats who are leaving know who they are. They ideally leave in boat order, but based on where they're at, they may leave in a different order, but they will try to get back into the order and get their spacing correct before the rapid. So you can see boats are being very thoughtful about when they leave. And now we have four boats launching. So all four boats launch at the same time. Looks like the boat two got a little stuck there and needs to catch up to boat one, because boat two, that one and two spacing needs to be super tight. Again, if boat one swims, right now, boat two's a little far to maybe get to them. But if boat one is pulling a little bit, slowing down, boat two's pushing a little bit, catching up, and then boat three and four need to catch up a little bit here if they can. So this spacing is just so important. And this leaving together, I think, is so important. Boat four is a little stuck there. It's hard to do. This is after us practicing a lot. Now, one and two, you can see here, a lot of you are like, that's too tight. That's too tight. I don't want to be that tight. I'm afraid I'm going to run into them. I'm going to say if you're – that's a good – think that in your class two and three. But in your class four and five, boat two has to match boat one speed. Again, because boat two is crucial for the safety of boat one. Unless you have a safety kayaker downstream who also doesn't have any safety, right? If you want these two boats running super close. And this demonstrates a really nice, tight boat one and two. This is what we should be going for when we're boating harder rivers. Boat three and four, a bit far back. They got a little stuck. That's what happened last time. But ideally, all four boats are running together. Now they're a bit far back. So right now, if that person swam, they're in for a nice little swim. Nobody's going to help them for a ways. I think I'm going to have a little more video. But here's group two. So we just saw group one leave. Let's watch and see if group two does any better. So there's four boats. I only see three right now. And so right now that it looks like a disaster, like, oh, their spacing is totally off. But if at this point, every single person here knows their position, what their spacing can be. They can all work together to get in that position. The first boat can slow down a little bit. The second boat can speed up a little bit. The fourth boat needs to do a little catching up. And boat three can be a little tight. And over time, these four boats, although they didn't leave perfectly, they can now get it together. And this actually right here, to me now, oops, it ended. That's all the video I had. This looks pretty good. It could be a little tighter, but you have boat one and two close to each other. Boat three could be a little tighter, but it's not bad. And boat four is coming down. So I just want to share this. It's something that is super important to me when I'm boating harder rivers. And if I go do the Wind River, for example, and a lot of the people do the Wind this week to get ready for the Wind Festival. If I go do the Wind, which is a class four river, maybe class five at high water, and I go with people who aren't tight and playing this game and thinking about boat spacing and order, I won't boat with them again. Right. And I'll go a lot on the Wind where I'm with a group of five and two or three people are playing this game. They're focusing on being tight. They're focusing on this one and two being tight. They're focused on looking out for each other. And if I'm like two or three of us are playing the game and we know what we're doing, I feel like nobody's being our safety. Like we're playing the safety for everybody else, but the other boaters aren't being safe for us. So those three people that aren't looking out for the rest of us, I won't boat with again. Or if they're going, I'll be like, well, who is going? And I want to make sure at least a few people who know how to have proper spacing and order and pay attention to going on the run. And so I'm very particular about who I go boating with. And when I'm at work, it's my job. When I'm teaching classes, I explain all this. We hammer it. We do it over and over and over. We talk about it. Right now I'm kind of at work. I'm doing my little video thing. And so I'm explaining it right now. When I'm going boating for fun, it's my day off. I really don't want to have to give a class on boat spacing and boat order. I'm not going to pull people aside and say, the reason I'm not going boating with you is because you don't pay attention. Or you're not in the boat space. I'm not going to do that. At put-in, if I'm nervous, I might do a little talk. Say, hey, today what I'd like to do is be in this order. Let's please run tight. Please look behind you. I might do a quick safety talk like that. But if people aren't performing that, instead of like on my day off having to explain things to people, I will just choose not to go with those boaters. So that's how I am. It's very important to me. If we're going to do the Rogue, fine. I don't care. But if it's going to be on the wind or something hard, if I'm going to do something harder than the wind, I want to know everybody going, and I want to experience with them knowing, do they – but I just call it play the game. Are they playing the game? Are one or two tight? Are three and four not too bad, not too far back? Is everybody running pretty tight? Is everybody looking behind them, checking on each other? Are one and two, like, paying attention? If I'm one, is two right there behind me? Like, that's the game I'm talking about. So that's all I want to talk about today. Dougie Fresh didn't join us, Data Doug, but hopefully pretty soon we have a video where Doug shares some facts about us, about flotation, about how much flotation you lose as your PFD gets older. Actual like numbers, are all the PFDs, even though they're saying they're 15 and a half or 16 and a half, are they actually that? Hopefully he has some data for us. But that's it for this episode. Probably see you all next Monday. Here we go.